Good day. This is Scott Hamilton with Bjorn Firm from Lehigh News. We're here with another one of our 10 Minutes About. This is going to be 10 Minutes About the Boom Supersonic Transport United Airlines deal that was announced last week. The Twittersphere just lit up with the aviation rider expert world with a lot of skepticism about this deal. The mainstream press just fell all over it and gave United and Boom millions of dollars worth of free publicity. But how real is this program? We're going to talk about that today. Bjorn, as our regular readers know, is an aerospace engineer and a pilot from the Swedish Air Force in his younger days. Bjorn has patents on some of these supersonic fighters. So he really knows what he's talking about when it comes to this. So, Bjorn, let's start. The clock is now ticking. First off, what did you think about the Boom United announcement?
Well, I was pretty surprised that United goes in with that announcement at this time, because Boom is just in a very early phase of all the problem sorting and all the development they need to do. So I was really surprised. So, by the way, Scott, let me just tell you, I have actually flown in 1.7, exactly the speed they now back down to make it possible. So I actually flew the same aircraft type as well, a Delta like the Boom Overture. So I've been there, done that.
Yeah, and you mentioned that they backed down to 1.7. For those who don't know the details here, Boom had originally proposed its Overture to fly at Mach 2.2, and as Bjorn mentioned and was referenced in the announcement, this is now a Mach 1.7 airplane. Why do you think they had to bring this down to 1.7?
Well, I wrote a 7-article series about that already 2016 when they announced the Boom Overture. It's just not possible with today's noise standard to have an engine which can perform both at the takeoff with the low noise level you need and at 2.2. They said we actually go 10% faster than the Concorde just to have the bragging rights of being the fastest. But I told the world in 7 articles and 15 series, corner series later, this is not possible. And they could have gained something, let me see, it's 4 years if they are listened then.
Yeah, which is interesting. When they announced the Boom, I think it was back in 2014, 2015, they had planned at that time for an entry into service in 2023. Now with the United announcement, they're talking about an EIS of 2029, and it's highly contingent, as the news stories and press release indicated last week. You can go to our site at Lehigh News and look that up. One of the other things is that we published on Friday, and I heard on the Ramp piece, that the 500 destinations, which I take that to mean 500 cities, that they tout that the Overture can serve, is just really nonsense. There aren't 500 cities that are targets for this type of operation. So one of the things that United and Boom have talked about is being an environmentally friendly SST. They talk about being net carbon neutral. They talk about sustainable aviation fuel. And there was just a lot of skepticism among aviation writers, and I fall in that camp. I'm not sure how they can get to net carbon neutral. Sounds to me like carbon offsets, which I think is just an environmental scam when anybody talks about carbon offsets. What is your view about how the Overture can be an environmentally friendly airplane?
With the difficulty, I would answer. The problem is that you're flying around 50 to 60,000 feet to get to the thin air, so you can actually fly that fast without burning a lot of fuel. You're still burning a lot of fuel, and as you do that, you actually put out CO2, which in a sustainable aviation fuel is compensated at the manufacturer, but you're still putting out NOx and other pollutions. You're putting out soot and so forth. and you're generating contrails up there. And quite frankly, I don't know what happens with the atmosphere where you start to go for hours and hours in a large network with supersonic machines up there. I just don't know.
Well, and then you get the question of just what is the supply of sustainable aviation fuel, SAF, going to be throughout places like China, Africa, Latin America, even in Europe, North America, and Asia Pacific. You know, I got a 2016 study that was done for Boom by a consulting company that suggests that there is a demand for 1,300 airplanes between 2023, when the EIS was supposed to be, and 2032, with 250 in Africa and the Middle East. I'm not sure, you know, where in Africa you could really find a demand for an SST. It talks about 366 units in demand for Europe. And with the environmental movement in Europe, I just don't believe it. I'm just highly skeptical of that. Now, let's talk about the economics. This is an 88 passenger airplane. It's grown from 55 passengers in 2016 to 88 passengers. They claim, oh, they'll be able to do these flights for as little as $100, but certainly no premium fare for the privilege of flying on this SST. I don't see how the numbers work at those kinds of figures they're talking about. You've got the $200 million airplane cost to cover. You've got all the crew and maintenance, all the rest of it. I don't see where the economics work without a substantial fare premium.
No, I think, first of all, before we talk about the operating economics, they had to find something like $15 billion to pay for the development. The problem for the Boom organization is that they have to develop the airframe, which is perhaps 8, 10 billion, but they also have to develop the engine and their partners, which have done the study for them. I mean, it's just the paperwork at the moment. Engine is going to cost something like 5 billion because you have to prove everything in supersonic flight. And there just isn't any civil test ranges or test facilities to test supersonic flight. So it's going to be rather expensive. And the more advanced and more down-to-earth project Ariane just folded because they couldn't find the money for all the investment in development. And they even had GE come and develop the engine for them. They did, GE went from study to actually starting developing the engine for the Ariane machine, which is a very different situation.
Well, and you mentioned Ariane, and that raises another interesting point. At various times, Ariane had Lockheed Martin, Airbus, and Boeing involved in the research and development and partnering for the I forget what they called the airplane, but for their SST. And if each one of these companies dropped out, and you could say, you know, maybe Boeing dropped out because of its own financial condition at the moment, but if each of these companies dropped out, Lockheed, Airbus, and Boeing, Boom doesn't have any partners like that in their stable.
Nope, they just have a very outspoken marketing department. And there is, I mean, let's give them the benefit of doubt. We shouldn't say they can't do it, but you know, they have substantial problems to pass. I can just mention, I did 7 articles about the initial problems. You find them if you go into our website and put SST into the search box we have. If you put supersonic, you get 15 serious corner series about the technical problems. And you also get an article which is called The Supersonic Dilemma, which summarizes some of the problems. So they have to find ways around that. They have to find money to crack all those problems.
Yeah, I just am really skeptical that this will ever go. You know, they rolled out this smaller scale prototype, but that still hasn't taken to the air yet.
Have flown late 2017, late 2018. Correct me. Now it's going to fly late this year or early next year. So that's just three to 4 years late.
Yeah, so they've had developmental problems. They're already running well behind their initial schedule. They don't have these partners that Arian had, and Arian could not raise the money. As you pointed out, Boom needs billions of dollars. They don't have an engine. There are these environmental issues. You know, as you point out, a great PR, great marketing, but a lot of us just wonder where the substance truly, truly is.
Yep, I agree. A lot of good marketing, a lot of good initiatives on that side. Much weaker on the technical side. The baby boom, I don't understand why they do it, perhaps to get money, but it doesn't prove anything. I don't see any technical problem that the baby booming solves that they couldn't have solved in another way.
Well, on all of that happy note today, our listeners certainly know where we stand on the whole concept. And we're not alone. As I say, there are a lot of aviation writers have put on a lot of commentary on Twitter, some articles. PaxAero.com is a real skeptical piece. I think that kind of wraps it for today. Thank you, Bjorn. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks.